So, hi everybody. Welcome to This Week in Mormon. Nice to have all of you here. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
It's me again.
You'll have to forgive my more metallic sound today. I come to you from the road, so here we are.
It's a tingy Jeff.
It is a tingy Jeff, like Earl C. Tingy, but not him.
Oh, I like what you did there.
See what I did? It's like I made myself a general authority, but not really. So, anyways, yeah, I'm up in Philadelphia right now. Headed back to DC today. So.
How is Philly?
It's been great. My mom got called here on business, and so I decided, why not come to Philly, hang out, live the dream. So I've been here since Friday evening, hanging out, and I'll go back now.
What have you done in Philadelphia?
You know, it's been good. I've been to Philly before. But I'm very... I love the city of brotherly love. I've fallen much more in love with this area. Maybe because I haven't spent much time in downtown Philly. I don't know. But, you know, usual stuff. Saw some more museums. I finally went to the Eastern State Penitentiary, which is really cool. And it's the first penitentiary in the world, by the way.
Philadelphia had the first idea to keep men in cages.
No, the first penitentiary. This is what I learned there. See, I didn't think about this. The word penitentiary is derived from the word penitent, or, you know. And so the point is, it wasn't to just incarcerate people. It was
the first correctional facility.
Sort of, yeah. It was the first real correctional facility. Not to punish them, but try to get them to see the error of their ways and leave different people. So...
It was the first evangelical Christian mother.
Yeah, pretty much. So, really cool place, actually. You should look it up, Al. I think you'd appreciate the architecture of it. And it's right smack, like, in the middle of Philadelphia. It's just these hot 30-foot walls around this, looks like this big fortress castle thing just sitting in the middle of a neighborhood. It's pretty cool. So, we saw that.
What's it called?
The Eastern State Penitentiary.
Eastern State Pen.
Yes, sir.
And Jerry Sandusky is there right now, right?
No, it's closed.
Oh,
now it's over. Now it is a sort of standing relic, so it's open for, you know, like I went, you know, just tours, self-guided tours, and looking around and stuff like that. And they're not really trying to keep it up, other than structural stuff to keep it from collapsing. So it's pretty cool. And during Halloween, though, they offer these wild terror behind the walls things.
Oh, so does your mother, from what I understand.
I don't even know what that means. But
the terror behind the wall.
It is a place though.
Yeah, little.
I'm thirsty. That was my Lucille. Okay. That was my Lucille Bluth impression. Never mind.
Okay.
Remember when she has the facelift?
Yes, I did.
There you go.
It's early for me.
By the way, there's a great Tumblr page called Lucille and Mitt, and it basically, for some reason, takes pictures of Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development and just quotes from Mitt Romney overlaid on the screen captures.
It's actually pretty funny. It goes together well.
It's pretty amusing. It's random, but it's great.
Anyway. My favorite Tumblr page you've sent me this week is the My Dad Was the Original Hipster Tumblr page.
I know.
It was brilliant.
It's true. I mean, like, big glasses and... plaid flannel shirts.
Our dads were the original hipsters.
Dads were super cool.
They've gone through a reverse sort of transition where now dads are wearing shorts and Hawaiian shirts. In the beginning, they were skin tight striped shirts and really short shorts with knee high socks.
So are you trying to say that in the future hipsters will be wearing khakis and Hawaiian shirts? Is that our future?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I know you don't like to hear this, but wait till you have 4 kids and hate your life.
I already have 1 pair of Tommy Bahama jeans, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, gosh.
Look, they fit very nicely. They look great on my caboose.
Oh, my gosh. And are we doing this? Are we really doing this? They, we're going there?
They were so good. Why not wear
them?
So
you go home. You go home in a day or two. You'll sing. You'll dance.
I just want to wear my Tommy Bahama pants.
Don't wear them.
I don't wear them very much nowadays. But fall is here. Oh, the weather is sliding into a beautiful, crisp, autumnal bliss.
Oh, it sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is. It was so nice to drive with the windows down through the Amish country on Sunday.
Do you normally drive with the windows up?
when it's hot. Yeah, I'm not like you. You always drive with the windows down.
I always drive with the windows down. Yeah, I adore the air. I think it's because I sit in a lame chair all day. Well, any chance to get out there.
But when it's humid and gross, I mean, you know how it's, you know, that's no fun. But
I'm bitter today. It's raining here. It's raining for the first time since, like, I don't think I've ever seen it rain while I'm in Utah. And it's raining. It's a little brisk. It's starting to turn fall. And I have no hot chocolate. None. I have Cheez-Its and I have applesauce. I have all the necessary ingredients for a good rainy day, but nothing to drink.
Well, you can acquire. It is Utah, the land of Stephen's hot cocoa. You should go buy yourself some.
I'm not going out in this weather.
Do it.
It's raining.
Go buy some Stephen's. Make it with some milk. Oh, you'll be so happy.
Stephen's
milk. Curl up on the love sack with a beautiful woman. Put on Notting Hill. Everything will be great.
You love that movie.
Yeah, it's like my mental default romantic comedy. I need to think of other ones.
Mine is Serendipity.
I was about to say, put on Serendipity.
It's the one that I hate. We could lay in an ice rink just down the street.
You sit there and you throw the mitten in the air and somehow it carries for like 75 feet, which defies all logic, and there it is.
And there it is.
That movie is amazing. We should make a list of our favorite romantic comedies in time for Halloween.
Sounds great. we'll be the new hipsters.
We're going to change Halloween from the inside out, my friend. It's going to be.
And the only place we could do that? At the Philly Prison Penitentiary.
It's called the Eastern State Penitentiary.
Whatever,
Eastern
Jeff.
State.
I'm not interested in your correctness.
Philly's a lovely place. I went to a Phillies game. I went to the Art Museum of Philadelphia. Walked all around, you know, downtown Amish country.
Did you climb the Rocky Steps?
Yeah, the Rocky Steps, of course, are there. There was a big old wedding actually at the museum itself. So there was a big tent thing set up right around the main courtyard up the steps. Pictures. I was trying to sort of crash some of their photos because, you know, I'm immature.
Neat.
Anyways,
you were
Philly
photobombing.
Has been delightful. Oh, and I went to Villanova University, which you could appreciate because you like basketball.
Good old Villanova. Really? Why would you go to that university?
Well, it's close by. I'm staying up here, up in King of Prussia. And so, and I went to Valley Forge. Valley Forge is like a minute away across the road. So lots of things around here. So yeah, Villanova and Bryn Mawr and all that stuff is pretty close by. So I went and checked out. I like checking out college campuses, at least cool college campuses. I mean, you're not going to see me walking around UC Merced. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, yeah. Okay.
So that's all. I want to know how you are, Al. How are you?
I'm good. Did you see the new MySpace redesign?
Yeah, I did. TechCrunch was not very fond of it at all.
They're trying hard.
It looks nifty. I just feel like MySpace. Even if it's kind of cool or whatever, it's just everyone's moved on.
We have. We'll never come back. They need to rebrand themselves with a new name.
Yes, just keep all the users and say, oh, now we're this brand new social media service called iBook.
Oh, that sounds great.
Or Bookface. They should actually change their name to Bookface and see what happens.
Oh, really good idea.
Thank you. I'm full of these. I can do this all day. This is why I'm successful. I'm an ideas man.
You are. You're a think tank in yourself anyway.
I am my own think tank.
So, yeah, you know. Good times. I head out. I come visit you on Thursday.
I know.
It'll be great. Very excited. And I get to tour the White House. So, suckers.
Yeah, so did you find... I didn't say anything before because I didn't know how hush-hush it was as far as on the air. So do you know details of your White House experience?
I do now. I have an agenda.
Yeah?
I will tour the East Wing.
That's pretty typical. Well, that's cool. I wonder if you'll get to see all of the East Wing. Well, the East Wing is where they tend to receive people. That's cool. Dude. And you get to go on like the White House tour. They'll show you the blue.
Yeah, and then I get to go to a reception award thing at the White House.
Where is that going to be? Is that going to be in the East Room?
No. It's some other room.
Some basement place on the West
Wing. I don't know how this works, Jeff. I'm not a White House aficionado. I didn't even know there were wings.
It's going to be down in Ainsley Hayes' office.
I love her.
That's a West Wing reference for all the true believers. So There it is.
I've never seen it. Should I watch it?
I think you'd enjoy The West Wing, actually. You should watch it.
Okay, done.
I think you would. But I'm jealous, anyway, man. That's cool. So you don't get to meet the president, is what you're saying.
Right. Obama won't come say hi.
But why? He can take a break from campaigning just for you.
No, I wouldn't want him to.
You should. Then you can meet him and be with
okay,
him.
Okay, well, we got some Mormon stuff we can get to.
Yes.
We do, Jeff. We really do.
Do we?
Leading the pack, obviously.
Obviously.
There is the finale to The Mormon Bachelorette.
Oh, my heck.
Jeff loves this.
It's terrible.
Come on.
Well, I don't even know. We just looked at this right before we started recording just now. I think that we've both been far more disinterested in this MoBatch experience than in the past, even myself, and I'm usually the one pushing for us to cover it and stuff.
Yeah, like painfully detached from it.
Because it's just so terrible. It's just not, it's been all over the place with like dates that don't happen. It's gone, how long has this been going on? For like 4 months? I don't even know. So I guess it's the finale. Who knew? He had four final dates. I thought he was going to narrow it down to a top two. My guess is all of them said no but one. That's my best guess. And so they just cut straight to the chase. Well, it's true. He had this one who it seemed like they had a good thing, but he dropped the ball like on courting her. And so he said, like, I would have been interested, but I moved on. Poor guy. C'est la vie.
Oh, is that the Sheila?
Charla. So anyways, he picks this chick. What's her name? Ashley? Courtney. Her name's Courtney Childress.
And where do you, when you finally come to that point where you say, I can love you. I could love you like this.
Yes, I could love you like that. Oh, they should have played the All for One song.
I could give you my world from heaven to earth if you'd be my girl. Exactly. When you finally come to that moment, where do you take her, Jeff? Where do you take this woman?
Well, this is why I'm so proud of Chris, because I've been thinking about this for years, and he did exactly what I would have done. He said, I will take this woman to a marriage and family therapist.
Let's go to counseling.
That's how the episode starts, folks.
That's how the episode ends.
No big, yes, it is part one of two. No big surprises. No, like, who's he going to choose? It's between so-and-so and so-and-so. Who will get the final rose? It just starts and he's like, so, I'm here with Courtney. It's the final date. It's like, well, thank you for crafting this drama for us, producers. And they go and they sit down with the therapist guy and they just start talking. And that's the whole episode. It's very strange. Very, very terrible. Strange.
It is terrible.
Part two will be this Thursday. So here's to hoping on part two they at least go get a snow cone or something.
Yeah.
But we don't even know what's going to happen, though. Because on their last date, she said that they'd been in touch a lot. He'd even visited her in between other dates.
Oh, gosh.
But she wasn't sure if she was at the same level he was and ready for something.
She wasn't in love with him.
Can you believe it?
I can believe it.
So, thank you for bringing that up, Al. Yes, MoBatch has just fallen. So, I think it's really been a vehicle for Erin Elton herself to feel like she had love. And now that she's getting married, I bet there will never be another MoBatch.
She found love in a hopeless place. No, Jeff, it's about bringing people together.
And that's been the problem with it. If it would have been about great television, we'd be so amused.
We'd still care.
But this is about how, yes, whatever. So watch it, people, if you want to see 10 minutes of a couple who's not necessarily a couple talking to a ginger therapist.
I'm sorry? Can you say that? Isn't that racist?
He's a ginger therapist. Now, look, I'm not trying to say anything and to disparage the ginger people, but you all know what I mean.
Jeff, what do you mean?
I don't have to say it. Everyone knows.
Oh, I get it.
And my own grandfather is a ginger, so
it does not make it right.
It doesn't make it right. He's a great man, despite his naturally born flaws.
You're a jerk, Jeff.
I know. Well, I have the recessive genes, so, you know, hey, who knows if I'll pop out in your redhead someday. Nobody knows.
I hope you do. I hope they're all reddies.
Oh, my gosh. What'll I do with them?
Love them.
I guess. What if I have ugly children?
So that's pretty much all the news for this week.
That's it. The MoBatch finale. No, other things have gone on, so, well, where can I jump into here? I'll start off with a smaller one. Harry Reid has actually insulted Mitt Romney's Mormonism. That's right, folks.
Has he? I feel like that's a misleading headline.
Maybe it is a little bit of a misleading headline. I'm inclined to agree. It's actually, it says it attacks his Mormonism, but really Mitt Romney says, he does describe Mitt Romney. He says he is not the face of Mormonism, and Mitt Romney has, quote, sullied his faith.
Has he?
It's very serious. Well, I think, given some of Harry Reid's positions about, like, disparaging, you know, the 47%, just stuff like that, but I think more than
anything, he trusts that the Nevada Mormons will know that Romney is not the face of Mormonism.
Well, the big thing is that he just says it's a good religion and he's hiding from it. And that's a bit of a different criticism. Look at that, Mitt. You've got the House majority, the Senate majority.
When Harry
Reid
critiques your Mormonism, you know you're in trouble.
Well, I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and it cracks me up how many members that you have, especially in the more, like in the West and some of the more conservative areas, who are like, they refuse to believe that Harry Reid's actually a quote, good member of the church.
Because he's a Democrat.
Because he's a Democrat. Like, they have it on good authority that he's not really active or this or that.
Shocker, people. Outside of a few stances, I actually feel this way for both the Republicans and the Democrats. Outside of a few stances, you can be a good Mormon and a member of that party.
I know. I mean, Harry Reid, of course, is pro-life. I don't know how he got as far as he did in the Democratic Party, but...
Like, Republicans, you can't live the Republican platform and be a good Mormon either, I don't think.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. I mean, the church is a little more in the middle on some stuff, but we refuse to believe that, you know, and it's just... Oh, it's hilarious, the things you hear people say sometimes.
You can live most of it.
So anyways, yeah. Harry Reid, come on, Mitt. Don't shy away from your Mormonism. I'm excited for all the debates, though. I think that'll be very exciting.
Go get him, Mitt. Man, the problem with it, though, is like, oh, I feel bad for Mitt because as great as his views may be, he will be a terrible public person. Like, he's just not good in front of people.
Yeah, and people have...
So, like, he can have all the answers and he can do it right. And, like, I mean, put him in a boardroom where people are looking for that stuff and he's going to shine. Put him in front of America and he's just not... I want him to.
But it's true. He's not blessed with the gift of gab. He's just not.
So sweet.
Well, he's just not. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. He's just not gifted with communication in the way other people are.
And Harry Reid knows that. He's all over him. That sucker.
Yes, exactly.
So, Brigham City was dedicated on Sunday.
The city was dedicated? They just dedicated a whole city?
It was dedicated to a temple that was in the middle. Or up on a hillish, not so much.
No, it's not really on the hill. Remember, we went there.
Oh yeah, it's down by the Crown Burger.
Remember? Yeah, it's in the middle of town.
That's how people give directions to the Brigham City Temple.
Dude, it's so true.
We parked between the Sonic and the Crown Burger, and then there's a welfare meal place.
Well, yeah, when we checked out the construction site, didn't we have to like park across the street at a mechanic shop or something like that? And then just walk.
Yeah,
but it's been dedicated. Yay! And
A little bit interesting, Boyd K. Packer presided. There was no Thomas S. Monson, no Henry B. Eyring.
Really?
Hal was gone. No Dieter, or as I call him, Dietrich.
Dietrich.
None of them.
So just Boyd.
Just Boyd, and then Elder Nelson and Elder Perry were there as alternating speakers.
They really brought in the old guard for this one, huh?
So Boyd K. Packer, it was kind of funny. He went out and to seal the cornerstone, mm-hmm. and they give him a little bit of mortar, and he puts it in there. They're like, "You want to put a little more?" He's like, "Nuh-uh, nope." He's just in his wheelchair. He's like, "No." Pulls back. I'm done here. It's kind of entertaining.
It's like, I got my building. Now leave me alone.
It's like, yeah, way to go, Brigham. He made an interesting comment. He said that back 3 years ago when the Brigham City Temple was announced, he prayed that, you know, his dream was that he'd be alive to see it dedicated in his city. And he felt like the Lord had given him that promise and kept it to him now, and he was happy. Well, kind of a so long, suckers, and thanks for all the fish type of moment for Boyd K. Packer.
I can't believe it's only been 3 years. They really powered through on that thing. Like, from announcing it to getting it up, that was just... I mean, it's in Brigham City, so obviously I think they faced little difficulty in, you know, getting it planned out and approved. But I think just shut
up. Fast tracked it. They said in the beginning they had like, well, no, oh no no no, never mind. They were telling the story of the tabernacle in Brigham City back in the day.
Oh.
That Brigham Young dedicated the spot. The city wanted a spot right in the middle of town. He's like, no, it's not prominent enough. Give me the hill. So we went up on the hill and built it there. Then it burned down. Then they rebuilt it. Then it, whatever.
Cool. Well, one thing, neither here nor there. You know what's funny is because you mentioned this to me that he presided and dedicated it, and you were, you know, flabbergasted, like, what, no first presidency at a temple dedication?
And yeah, so, I was really surprised. I'd never seen that. Like, Thomas S. Monson, or the prophet, has presided every one I've ever been to.
Yeah, well, the prophet doesn't always preside. First presidency members do it as well, but depending on, you know, just circumstances. But I looked it up, and as best as I could find, there's only been one other temple other than Brigham City to not be dedicated by a member of the standing first presidency, which was the Regina Saskatchewan Temple, which was also dedicated by Elder Packer back in the day. And that's one of the many temples during the big flood of them back in, you know, 2000. But that's all I could find. Just
Regina. What a terrible name for a city.
I know. One thing that it's made me think about, though, why this might have been the case, is given, and this is all, of course, speculation, but given Elder Packer's ties to Brigham City, how all the things that, you know, you said that he said that he really wanted to be there and see it and all that stuff before he died. And I wonder if for him to dedicate it, and since he has to preside to do it, I think if a member of the first presidency were to come along, because of just line of authority and stuff, they would have to preside. Like, perhaps he would not be able to dedicate it if there was a higher seniority presiding over the proceedings.
Oh, maybe.
Which is my guess. And my guess, because it's in Utah, like, it doesn't, I get it when these far flung things happen and someone.
They were like the Chinese badminton team. They sandbagged it so that he could win.
Exactly. They're like, we're just going to stay home. Boyd, enjoy
it. Like, we can tell you're throwing this game. You guys, it's 20 minutes to drive there.
The badminton debacles during the Olympics were awesome. That was so great. But that's exciting, man. Another temple. I mean, I'm glad that we got to see it under construction, but it would be nice to pop up there. You should go up there and do a session, Al.
I meant to go up there and see the
you didn't do
the open house. Right. I didn't make it up.
I'm sorry to hear you that. Know. Well, now you can go up and do a session, and then sooner or later the Ogden Temple will be ready to go.
I'll do a session and then wander around. I'll get my own tour.
I like it. Also, speaking of temples, I took it upon myself in Philadelphia to once again check up on the construction for the Philadelphia Temple, which I last looked into almost a year ago when I was in Philadelphia, and nothing has changed. I don't know what they're playing at here. They broke ground on it, quote unquote, a year ago, but that was a symbolic groundbreaking. They like brought in a thing of dirt and all the stuff and broke ground. They haven't done squat. It's still a parking lot. It appears to be fenced off, at least, like, just not being used, but that's it. It's just sitting there. I don't know what their plan is, because it's one thing when you have the site and you've got plans of going through approval process, but usually when you break ground, like, you get going, as far as I know. You know, like the Keefe Temple was
it was 9 years.
But it was announced, but they didn't break ground on it until they actually broke ground on it. Before that, it was just announced, right?
Oh, that's not true.
Really? Enlighten me then. Help me.
Yeah, they once found the spot, they broke ground on that, and then it was still years before they got going on it.
Oh, because I was under the impression.
It was 9 years from the time that President Hinckley announced it to when we actually got it.
Right. But I was just under the impression that they had announced it, like they often
no,
do.
Then they kept finding different locations, and none of them ended up working. And so then when they finally found the one in Nebke, they ended up breaking ground on it, and it just sort of sat for about, I guess it wasn't so long. It sat for about a year and a half.
It says, I'm looking it up, but it says the announcement was in 1998, but it says the groundbreaking was not until 2007 for the Keefe Temple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. So the difference is they could have announced the Philadelphia Temple, and then it sits around for a while, but they actually broke ground. Once they broke ground on the Keefe Temple, they started building the thing. You know?
Are they still stuck in the blueprint stages?
Not as far as I know. As far as I know, all the city's signed off on it and stuff, and everything has been hunky dory. I mean, they have the rendering is released. When I went to church here, they have a rendering of the Philly Temple, you know, up in the lobby or the foyer. And so I don't know what the holdup is. I have no idea. I guess I should have asked around.
It's a cobble.
I could ask. When I came to church, an old mission pal of mine happened to be in the ward I was in. It was kind of funny. Life is funny like that. You're like, oh, hey guy, how are you doing?
It's a neat life.
It is a neat life. So, let's talk about a very bad article from the Daily Beast.
Okay.
It's silly. So this has gone around all over the place. This is going to be one of those things that'll probably circulate for a bit. I'm not sure who actually wrote the original piece on it. It might be the Daily Beast. But it's called Mormons Want to Excommunicate Romney Critic, which is totally wrong.
Good headline, Jamie Reno.
Yeah, and we'll fix this. And some great publications like the Washington Post, which has been kind to the church in general, I think, kind of get it right, explaining that, no, this is not Mormons want to communicate someone for being a Romney critic. It's because of totally different stuff. So there's a guy named David Tweed, a scientist, novelist, and fifth-generation Mormon, manages MormonThink.com. And it exists ostensibly as a website for scholarly debate about the religion's history from both critics and true believers. And it says he's a Mormon in good standing. But apparently he was called in for disciplinary stuff at his local level and all that jazz. And they might excommunicate him for apostasy. Now, this article tries to paint it as if it is because he's, like, criticizing Mitt Romney.
Right.
Which is
says that because of his writings that were critical of Mitt Romney.
And that is not
somebody
what,
turned him in.
And he does have writings that are critical of Mitt Romney, but the reason they turned him in is because he wrote a whole post that explains the temple ceremony, including all of the parts that we covenant not to disclose in the improper setting. And I believe it's coming under fire for that, for temple stuff. And I looked at his website, it's really masquerading as this like scholarly debate from active, you know, Mormons. It just seems like they're trying to debunk and just ruin every single thing in the church when you read it. I mean, page after page of explaining all the factual inaccuracies of the Book of Mormon. And even it compares, like, this is what true believers might say to argue a point. This is what scientists say. This is our opinion. But it's like, it's stupid. I don't know this guy, but I'm not surprised based on his website and based on divulging temple stuff that he's receiving disciplinary action. What's unfortunate is that for some reason this is news when many people have been received disciplinary action in the church and we never hear about it. I just don't.
Yeah, this Mormon Think, this does kind of read like an anti-Mormon site, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Especially when you have people from exmormon.com posting. I'm not saying I don't welcome free speech. Like, I'm fine sitting around having a debate with non-members, ex-members, you know, people from all across the spectrum. That's great, and that's fine. But when you claim that you are trying to promote the mission of the church and that you're a believer, why would you go on and try to tear it apart like that? Why would you post stuff of the temple ceremony?
And of course, the Daily Beast takes that spin. Good on them. It was because he was critical of Romney, that's why.
McKay Coppins, bless his heart, actually kind of slammed them a bit because he used to work there. And he was just like, my old employer of the Daily Beast is like the worst on accurately representing the church. So at least he knows. Maybe he left there in a rage. So anyways,
I don't think McKay Coppins has the capability to rage.
I believe he rages.
I do not believe he ever
rages. The man rages. I will ask his sister-in-law about the rage.
Yeah, check into that.
I will. So it's good to know. Then it's nice to see the post, which actually came from Peggy Fletcher Stack, corrected stuff, saying that in the Washington Post that, you know, this has nothing to do with Mitt Romney, and nor will it ever have anything to do with Mitt Romney.
Peggy Fletcher, in the old post, attagirl.
David Tweed, thou art a fool.
All right, so, we gotta go to the Stripling Warrior March down Main Street Bountiful, don't we?
I believe this is imperative.
2,200 young men in basketball shorts and drapes marched with what looks like 2-inch dowels covered in tape down Main Street and Bountiful for the Stripling Warrior March.
I don't even know that I would want my kids to do this.
Why would you not, Jeff? How cool would that be?
I guess. I'm just a bad.
They've got Vans, basketball shorts, and drapes.
Sorry, would you rather they handcraft wonderful leather-strapped sandals? And
yeah, I wanted this to be authentic.
Really, really? No.
So they did it during their the annual Handcart Days parade. And I don't know. It was just a funny picture that I felt was worth mentioning.
It is kind of funny. It's a handcart day celebrating pioneer handcart stuff. So it begs the question, what do the Stripling Warriors have to do with that?
Yeah, they were confused. But
I would possibly
220 rows of young men with staff-like spears. Not staff-like spears, staffs. Standing 10 abreast.
I mean, would I be offended if I were a non-member? And if I celebrated Utah's handcart pioneer heritage, if I were okay with that as a Utahn? And I wanted
Jeff,
to
you can't
that?
Consider who may or may not believe what you believe. You just have to
this is true.
Do it.
This is true. This is what we learned from Elder Holland, right? Just
yep.
Yeah, go at it. I love
live like you believe.
You should have gone to this, Al. I think you need to do... You're kind of our roving reporter. You should use your precious free time to hunt out Mormon happenings across the Wasatch Front.
And go report on this live.
And document them. You still...
How does this make you feel, young man?
I love it. Dude, this would be my life if I lived in Utah. I would totally go find all these things. You still haven't been down to the church studios. You promised to do that.
No, I haven't. I've been working.
Oh, yeah. Use that excuse. Work. Free enterprise. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
What were you doing last week? Not working. What are you doing this week? Working.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a Dollar Shave Club reference for you.
I do like the Dollar Shave. Have you done the Dollar Shave Club?
No, I need to, though.
I've thought about it, but I've wondered if it's actually a worthwhile investment compared to...
It is. $9 a month, and you get, like, a new razor every week. Or $1 a month if you only want the single blade.
The cheap. So you can get decent stuff, but I have wondered if... But you can go to Costco and get, like, a giganto pack of about 16 cartridge refills for like $30. And I think that makes it cheaper.
Oh, that may.
So that's why I'm
questioning. I don't know.
For those of you who aren't familiar with the Dollar Shave Club, I'm not naming it correctly.
It's a guy that sends you razors.
It's actually very, very clever YouTube video and a company.
With swear words that we can't recommend. Don't watch it.
Swear words are bad. That's the sweet irony, Al. You and
are our blades any good? No. Our blades are freaking great.
Yes. So, also, just the other day, September 24th, 1890, Wilford Woodruff issued the Manifesto on Polygamy. Back then? Not that this is a crazy anniversary, because that makes it, what, how many years has it been? 122 years since? Right? No. 112.
Or, to the non-Mormon's eye, 0 years. 0 years have we had... Polygamy disband.
So, folks, to celebrate the 122nd anniversary, it's very important that we mark this occasion. It's very serious. So, anyways,
we had some good Mormon nuances in the Simpsons premiere.
Do tell.
Did you see it?
No.
I saw the trailer for it where Homer goes in to vote. He says, "Well, Mitt Romney has 7 wives, all named Ann, but Obama is this, but Mitt Romney." As magic underwear, I believe our commander-in-chief should go commando. But this, what this?
Why do they have to insult us so?
Why? Well, I don't even know. I don't even feel like, I don't know.
It's whatever.
When it's a yellow cartoon man, doesn't bother me.
But he's
much.
He's an American icon, though. It's like...
He was insulting both sides, so he thought it was
it's,
fine.
It's like Ronald Reagan saying the same thing.
Oh, Jeff. Oh.
It's true. Say what you will. It's true.
I will say what I will.
Hey, so you want to hear there's a hilariously awful op-ed in an online newspaper that I believe is centered in Boulder, Colorado, your old stomping grounds.
Yo, yeah.
The Daily Camera. Are you familiar?
Oh, I love the Daily Camera.
Are you familiar with the Daily Camera?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, this is, of course, an editorial. It's like a letter to the editor or whatever, so bear that in mind. I almost feel like I could read the whole thing. It's not that long. Well, I'll skip a couple paragraphs. Basically, a guy writes in as he's a retired army officer. He's not affiliated with a specific religious group.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, all this stuff. But he has distinct reservations about the Mormon sect / faith. I say this because I have had significant exposure to it over the past 48 years. In addition, while I have been a conservative, I have over recent years found more government values pursued among liberals. What does that even mean? More governmental values? Anyways, I know presidential candidate Mitt Romney cannot separate himself from his religion, and I would not ask citizen Romney to do so. Yet the fact means more than I believe most of our citizens may understand. Members of the faith called Latter-day Saints are subject to radical beliefs that cannot help but influence domestic and foreign policy decisions. So they talk about the apocalypse, actual gods, and stuff like that. But then it gets even more exciting. Mormons believe they are assembling 10 lost tribes of Israel to be gathered on American soil, which demands some strange practices, ceremonies, obedience to hierarchy, etc. Along with this, they tend to view struggles in the Middle East, climate change, increased crime, even the inequity of rich to poor as prophecy, as not much we can do about it, but see the prophecy is fulfilled. And then, my favorite part, as a well-respected Mormon bishop, a fairly significant step in the church hierarchy, Mr. Romney would have access to and no doubt be in communication with the current prophet Thomas Monson, who, as guide and overseer of revelations in the church, is responsible for interpreting and delineating development of church precepts.
Oh, yeah, if you're bishop,
and
you're in.
Responsibilities.
I know most bishops are very closely held by the prophet.
That is the best thing ever. It's like, you would think this man, who clearly has had significant exposure over 48 years to Mormons, could perhaps know one Mormon and ask them and learn something about church organization and know that there is probably not a single bishop, maybe a few in the church, who have a hotline to the prophet's desk. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Especially in our church where we actually...
No. Jeff, to the novice's eye, this is exactly what it is. Once you get past Elders Quorum President, it's wide open doors.
Yeah, except we fail to understand that the church very much believes in the, not lines of authority, but
how many wards do we have?
Oh gosh, what are we at now? Somewhere in the high 30,000s or something like that.
I mean, so sure, the prophet's busy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
But
just think about the numbers alone. If the prophet had to field calls from every bishop to do it all in 1 year, once talking to them once, it would be something like 100 calls a day from different bishops throughout the whole year.
No, I like it. So, I got to know how many wards.
I just
have?
I love 36,000? You. I love you, Roland Charette, for your informed and erudite analysis of Mormon
28,784 congregations.
Thank you. Mormons are the comments are. Oh, it's funny. Anyway, that's just a ridiculous post. Like, how can you not know one thing to possibly set it the right way? I'm okay with you just not liking us.
Jeff,
from an informed
remind
opinion.
You, this is a letter to the editor. We shouldn't expect him to know anything about this.
Well, the man qualifies it by saying he's been acquainted with Mormons for 48 years. I've been acquainted with Mormons for 31 years, and I know a whole lot more than he does. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So, we had a bit of a cool bit here in the Utah. There's a Catholic bishop
okay.
who said, "We stand with Mormons as Christ's witnesses." So there's been a lot of outreach programs that have been happening, particularly here in Utah, between like the Catholics and the Mormons. They'll do like open forums and discussion debates and stuff. I know that Robert Millett, a lot of what he was doing was traveling around with a Catholic priest and an evangelical guy, and they were going around just kind of like talking about all the commonalities between the religions and how we shouldn't be, I guess, hating on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this was great. John Wester, Bishop John Wester, gave a speech to UVU students and, you know, talked about the differences, but said that they stand together, you know, like we both believe in Christ. And that's what we're all about. And so kind of a cool spiel from a Catholic, especially
cool.
In these moments of everybody trying to separate themselves from the Mormon faith due to the election. Which I feel like is pretty common. Everybody's pointing out the differences instead of pointing out the commonalities and what we can do together. So good on you, Bishop John Wester.
And I assume sorry.
Or as I like to call him, Bishop Tutu.
And I assume sorry. Is he the bishop for like the Salt Lake diocese?
Yeah, just local.
Yeah. Yeah, we've always had a pretty healthy relationship with the Catholic community in the Salt Lake area. I mean, I think understandably so. They came there as a minority, obviously. So it's good to see. I like to see that. I like to see the Who was I? Oh, I was talking with my mom, who has access to a lot of research, and about the just the way Mormons view themselves and how others view us and stuff like that. It's pretty remarkable how, you know, we are typically just a step above Muslims and other people, you know, as far as dislike, right? As compared to Jews, who are the most approved of faith in the United States. But you put it on the flip side, Mormons love themselves.
We really do.
No, we think we're great, but it's funny because we like love everybody. So people hate us, but we just love everybody. And we you see this research, and we think particularly highly of Catholics and of other groups. It's just funny seeing how it flips around the way everyone perceives us. But it's kind of funny how much we just like love all the other religions. They find that a more pluralistic mindset when it comes to religions, acquainting oneself with communities of other faiths, is better for us in the long run, and it makes us more tolerant and understanding.
Is that true?
I think it's true. Obviously, tolerance is can be a hot word sometimes, but how can that not be true? I mean, picture it, Al. If you knew no one but Mormons, spent all your time with Mormons. I mean, I'm sure you and I spend the majority of our time with Mormons, obviously. But
we do spend a lot of time with Mormons.
But if that's like all you knew, if you didn't have any exposure to other communities, how would you... You'd probably be less inclined to be accepting of an understanding of their points of view and stuff like
that. You'd be understandably ignorant. It's true.
Yeah, so.
What's the Mark Twain quote? That travel will dispel ignorance.
I'm pretty sure Mark Twain's only quote is, I'm a racist.
Also, he says, a naked man has no place in society.
Also, he says, I don't like Mormons and I'm going to make fun of them.
Also, he says, Huckleberry Finn is my brother.
Also, he says, a Utahn is on Survivor.
I believe that's true.
There's a Mormon.
Yeah, chick from Provo.
No, I'm confused. It doesn't say she says she's from. Is she from Provo? I thought she was from Virginia. Oh no, Zane Knight is of Virginia. So,
well, the title is a little bit misleading. Is it the major leaguer that's a Mormon, or is it the girl?
I know it's really confusing, right? It says, I believe Layton is actually the Mormon. Maybe they're both Mormons.
I don't think so. So I'm looking at the guy.
Okay, they have a major leader. They are both Mormons. It says the guy is, and then it says Layton is also a Mormon and attends a young adult ward in Provo.
Oh, good for her. What a sweetheart, that one.
It's good. She's Mormon and she's dressed like a sex kitten. So
that's Jeff. Until you go to the temple, that's how you dress.
Oh,
else do you find men to take you to the temple?
Al, you have made points just now that have changed my entire worldview. Thank you.
All very good ideas.
Other than that, Al Elder Gay. Who's Elder Gay?
Who is Elder Gay? No, before we get there, there is a global bacon shortage.
I just saw this on the news.
That is unavoidable next year, says the UK's National Pig Association. What this speaks to is the food storage ways of Mormons will make us by far superior to everyone else.
Because we can
call. When you're all saying, you remember that one time when we had bacon? And Mormons are saying, pull out the underbelly of that pig we put down in the cellar. Let's hack us off another piece of sala.
We're going to call on our sala.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Yeah. You're such a Ukrainian now. Look at you. Eating your lard.
That's how we will win this election. Mitt Romney will say, you want bacon? Well, my stockpiles have it.
I feel like that's the missing piece. If Romney would do that, I would vote for him. I would. End of story. If Romney comes and officially endorses bacon, it's over.
So the Perpetual Education Fund has a new leader, Elder Robert C. Gay, who is a member of the 70, I believe. It's called to care over and be the chairman of the Perpetual Education Fund. Obviously,
that's cool.
The Perpetual Education Fund is a neat little program. I wish that we had access to it here in the States. I would love to take out my school loans from the church instead of from Sally Mae, but such is not the case.
I know. It is, isn't it kind of sad when you think about it? It is true. Not sad. I think the Perpetual Education Fund is one of the most beautiful things we've done in a very long time. And I think it's great that we have this program to give people in developing countries a leg up, because the brethren know that it's not that you have to be rich or anything to live the gospel, but the more financially stable you are, the better able you are to help other people. And that's kind of the essence right there. And I think that's something that can often be interpreted as we love money, rich people go far in the church. And it's not that. It's just You know, I always equate it to what happens when the oxygen masks come down in the plane. You don't put it on the kid first. You've got to put it on yourself first.
Word.
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 And yeah, good call. I wish we could access it too. Dang it all. And if I can digress for a second.
Yes, please.
I've heard another interesting gripe about things that we... You know how pretty much everywhere else, temple marriages aren't recognized by the government as civil marriages, so people have to get married just at City Hall and then wherever, and then they go to the temple on their own?
Yeah.
I've heard that because of gripes from those who have perhaps part-member families, non-member families, like why they can't just get married civilly and then just do in the States and then do the exact same thing. I've heard interesting gripes about that lately. That's all. I just wanted to throw that at you and our listeners.
Do you gripe with it?
I don't know that I gripe with it. I think it's an enormous blessing that we're able to go to the temple and have our civil ceremony done on the spot, you know, at the same time. I mean, I'd be totally fine if my life involved having to go to City Hall or whatever. Who cares? It's fine. But it's nice. I mean, I think it's nice to be able to do it all in one fell swoop. But I do understand the plight of those from not completely homogenous Mormon backgrounds. So, I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about a little bit the other day. I didn't mean to digress too much.
Amen.
Oh, and the last thing. I was looking at some of our stats, and I put this on the Facebook, but I'm so excited that someone from Iran listens to our show. I just wanted to just pat ourselves on the back. Good job. Al, when we started this 2.5 years ago...
That was our goal. I think we're done now.
Did we think we would... You're always looking for an out. This concerns
me. Yeah. No, sorry about that.
Anyway, it's just fun to see, fun to look and see who actually visits. This is just a silly little show, and if you listen to it and you're in some random country far flung, we want to hear from you, both to love you and to stroke our egos that we have listeners.
Where are you, Kiribati? Where are you, Tasmania?
We have a lot of listeners in Victoria.
That's because you went there and got them.
No, I've never been to Australia, unfortunately. It's never happened. Anyway, that's going to be it, I think, for this week's show.
All right, well,
it's over.
It's been a good time.
I've enjoyed myself very much.
From armies of Helaman to excommunication because of Romney. From this guy is an idiot in the Daily Camera to the Polygamist Manifesto anniversary. We are coming to you from the shadows of the everlasting hills.
And,
with love.
And also at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Contact at thisweekinmormons, thisweekinmormons.com, and at The Real Twim on Twitter.
Oh yeah, we're coming to you from those places as well.
But I like the shadows of the mountains. And from the belly of the beast.
The bellies.
And from the depths of despair.
Well, good.
Okay. Good. Well, on that positive, wonderful note...
All right, man. Have a good week, Jeff.
Thanks, pal. And you too. And everyone, thanks for listening to This Week in Mormons. We appreciate it. We love hearing from you. And we look forward to hearing from you throughout the week and talking
this
to you next week.
Week in Mormons.
This week in Mormons. Okay.
All right, see you, buddy.
All right. Bye, folks.
Colonel Guile, greeting. Why do you address a fellow warrior with such disrespect? Colonel Guile, greeting.
On the contrary, I mourn.
Okay.
I was hoping to face Guile personally on the battlefield. One gentleman warrior to another in respectful combat. Then I would snap his spine.
Ah,
the road not taken.
Carlos Blanco, so you are Guile's friend. Take him to the laboratory.
King!
Take him to the laboratory.
Over!
He'll do very nicely.
You have a perfect soldier.
But for me, it was Tuesday. But for me, it was Tuesday. For you, it's the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday. But for me, it was Tuesday. The day Bison graced your village. It was Tuesday.
The hostages will die. The hostages will die. Die, 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 die.
Then I would snap his spine.
Bison, are you men enough to fight with me?
Anyone who opposes me will be destroyed.
Guile? Alive?
Of course! His death was designed to ingratiate his spies with you.
I guess you didn't see that, did you?
This time, Colonel, you died for real.
But for me, it was Tuesday. But for me, it was Tuesday. For you, the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday. But for me, it was Tuesday. The day Bison graced your village. It was Tuesday.
The hostages will die. The hostages will die.